Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3, and in this weekly segment, we speak to BBC journalists about the big international stories they're tracking in the week ahead. And today we're joined by broadcast journalist Peter Ross. Peter, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you back. So, Peter, we've got to talk about the big headline grabbing international media today. Myanmar's military declared a one-year state of emergency today and appointed a general as acting president after arresting civilian leader Aung San Suu Kyi and other senior officials. What do we know so far, Pete?
Yeah, just to reiterate what you've said, Rachel, the armed forces in Myanmar have seized power. They've detained the country's elected leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, and other senior members of the governing party. On a statement that was delivered on television, the army said that it had all the authority and it had given a general in charge of the army full power. The armed forces also said that a state of emergency was now in force and they expected that they would remain in power for a minimum of a year. Aung San Suu Kyi has urged her supporters not to accept the coup. There were rumours last week that this might happen. That followed a few weeks of complaints from the military in Myanmar over what they alleged as fraud in last November's parliamentary elections. Ms. Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy did very well in those elections, won a resounding majority of seats, and the military has been claiming for weeks that there was fraud in those elections. So there were rumours that this might happen, but I don't think it was expected that they would go this far. Our correspondent, BBC correspondent there, says the coup appears to also be a clear violation of the constitution that was drafted by the military themselves just over a decade ago, and which it promised to honour, even as these rumours were swirling right up until Saturday.
So, Pete, what's the situation on the ground? Do you have any updates from your correspondent? And what does this also mean for Myanmar?
Well, I mean, details just coming through, as we say just now. We've had that reaction from Aung San Suu Kyi. There's not a lot happening, you know, as far as people coming out to protest, as far as I'm aware of at the moment. The leader of the Rohingya refugees, they've come out to say that they've also responded. Dilip Mohammed said that the Rohingya community strongly opposed the coup, saying that it was a heinous attempt to kill democracy. So it's all really just kind of breaking and emerging right now, but the military certainly in power and a state of emergency declared in Myanmar.
We're speaking with Peter Ross, broadcast journalist at the BBC. And Peter, in other news, the coronavirus continues to dominate headlines as well. More and more countries are rolling out their vaccination programs, while infection rates are beginning to drop in some places. What's the latest where you are, Pete?
Well, here in England this morning, we're waking up to good news about vaccines for sure. I mean, our Prime Minister Boris Johnson has trumpeted that Britain has been leading the way. Well, it seems now that's certainly the case as far as vaccinating the most vulnerable people here in the UK, because the NHS, the National Health Service in England, has hit its target for coronavirus vaccinations. We've now, as we've just begun February today, a COVID vaccine has been offered to every single resident of every eligible care home in England. So that's really good news. There, of course, people that live in care homes are the most vulnerable to COVID. So once you get those people protected, you can then start to roll it out perhaps even more quickly, because part of administering the vaccination into care homes as well can be a bit slower because of, you know, the vulnerable people there and protecting staff. So now they've got that step done, it looks like that the vaccine could start to roll out at an even greater pace. And we've already, if you take into some figures, on Saturday, almost 600,000 first jabs were given in one single day. That was a record here in the UK. And it prompted our health secretary, Matt Hancock, to say that we might be able to look forward to a, quote, great British summer. After all, whatever a great British summer is, I'll let you have your own definition of that.
And just on that, Pete, you know, as we see these vaccine programs ramp up, are we starting to see the beginning of signs of the strict lockdowns that we've seen in Europe starting to ease in the UK as well?
Well, our Prime Minister Boris Johnson has promised that soon he will release what he calls a roadmap on how we're going to get out of here. But of course, the first step is to get people vaccinated, protect the most vulnerable, and then you can start to see businesses open up. We've got no clear sign of that here, and infection rates are still pretty high across Europe. So no real sign that restrictions are going to open up soon, but of course people are clamouring for that. We've been going through this for a long time now, lots of businesses suffering. One thing to look out for today that might get a bit of attention is cafes and restaurants in Hungary are going to reopen, but that's not because restrictions are being eased. That's at a protest against the government. They're saying that the government has had them under lockdown for too long and they failed to properly compensate them for the losses that they've suffered because of that. So it's not really a kind of classic lockdown protest where you see perhaps people on the streets without masks, saying that it's all a hoax. It's more a cry for help. It's more to say, look, if you're going to keep us into lockdown, we need support. And I think that's a similar story in many countries around the world.
We're speaking with Peter Ross, a broadcast journalist at the BBC. And Peter, finally, an Australian parliamentary committee will hold a hearing this week into planned laws to make Google and Facebook pay domestic media companies for content that appears on their platform. If the proposed legislation becomes law, it could set a precedent for how governments deal with tech giants in the future. Tell us more, Pete.
Yeah, this is a common complaint around the globe, isn't it? How do we get how do we make tech companies pay their fair share or pay their way? So Australia has proposed a bill that would oblige Google and Facebook to pay license fees to Australian media companies for sharing their journalistic content. Essentially, if you type into Google, you know, you're looking for a certain story, and Google links you to a story in an Australian newspaper onto their website, they need to then pay for that. Non-compliance, in this proposed law would incur millions in fines. So it's one way the Australian government is trying to get some cash, I guess you could say, out of Google and other tech giants. Now, as I'm sure you can imagine, Google is not best impressed with this, and they've threatened to block Australian users from accessing its search engine should that bill become law. That was a couple of weeks ago. You might remember the Prime Minister of Australia, Scott Morrison. He responded very strongly to those threats from Google, saying, we don't respond to threats, and essentially saying that, look, Australia decides how Australia will govern itself, and if you don't like it, well, then you might have to do business elsewhere. So there's a real clash, a potential clash between the government of Australia and Google. And just to look, just internationally, the US would like Australia to ditch the legislation. They prefer some sort of voluntary scheme that perhaps they could draft up amongst the tech companies and Australia. And if we're looking for precedent to this, you think, well what could happen if it doesn't get resolved and Australia presses on with this law? Could you see Google disappear from Australia? You know, if you're in Australia and you wanted to Google something, would you be able to do it? Well, there is precedent for this. In 2014, Spain drafted a similar sort of copyright law, and all that Google did was to stop to link. It didn't pull Google entirely. It just stopped linking certain, articles with certain websites, and it doesn't seem to have had too much impact, according to some studies, on the income there. So the idea of Google disappearing from countries that start to charge it, we could be a very long way off from that.
Well, thanks for all of those updates, Pete. It's been great having you back with us.
Thanks for having me, Rachel. Great to be here.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Peter Ross, broadcast journalist at the BBC, right here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to the full interview, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.